Welcome to MERS Monday, the official podcast of the MERS Political Newsletter. I'm Kyle Mullen with John Roerink and Craig Mauger. Emily Lawler is in Hotlanta this week.
It's supposed to be pretty warm down there this weekend, too.
We've become like world travelers, John. San Francisco, now Atlanta.
Emily's in Atlanta covering a great conference. It's always full of ideas, full of stories.
The National Conference of State Legislators. Mm-hmm. We try and get there every year, wherever they end up being.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Atlanta's a little nicer right now than Michigan from looking out the second story of MERS World Headquarters here on 910 Ottawa Street.
A little rainy and cold.
A little later in this podcast, John, we were able to speak with Roy Schmidt on a Friday night. I think he was doing the rounds a little bit. I saw the Grand Rapids Press had a big story on him. I think he's feeling a little vindicated and a little loose on the lips now.
I think he's probably been staying quiet for this whole past year as the Yim County Circuit Court did their woman grand jury look at this whole thing. And it's interesting that he's starting to talk.
And you called it, Craig. You said Roy Schmidt will call back. And,
yeah,
I didn't believe you, but sure enough,
he did. Yeah, I talked to Roy a couple weeks ago, and I just got this feeling from that this is a guy who had a lot to say, and he's just been, you know, sitting at home, storing up his thoughts on what's going on. And he's a smart guy, and he was ready to share some of his thoughts, I think, when this came out.
So I was on the phone with him for about 17 minutes on Friday night until I had to cut it off. It started getting a little redundant. We're going to give you the highlights of that, of his talk here in a little bit. But let's think about the impact that the decision from the one woman grand juror, Rosemary Aguilina, has here on Jace Bulger, the Republican Party in general, and the Democratic Party. This cloud has been lifted, John.
This cloud has been lifted. I think it accomplished two things. Two major things came out of that one-page order on Friday. Number one, I'm sure that the speaker probably slept better this weekend than he has in a while, knowing that that is gone, that that's not something that's going to come out of the woodwork at the last minute of the last part of this month and sort of shock him or upset his situation. Number two is I think it destroyed or certainly very much altered the narrative that the Democrats and perhaps even Mr. Schauer wanted to lay out, that if you look at the NERD fund, if you look at the transparency issues that the governor has had, or you could argue that he's had, and you lay over this indictment, if it had come, you can make a narrative about a corrupt Republican Lansing that you can't make now. It's very much more difficult to make now. Now you've got to rely on the transparency issues, and the Republicans are going to argue back. These are funds of which the Democrats, Jennifer Granholm, had her own kind of fund. So it becomes much more of a hard sell to say, okay, there's a GOP corrupt thing going on in Lansing, and the Democrats need to be elected to correct that.
Yeah, but it's still not as if Jace Bulger can be declared a saint, right, Craig? He's admitted that that was not a smart thing to do. It was mischievous, and it doesn't look very good. It's probably not very ethical mm-hmm. to recruit or to be a part of recruiting a candidate from, you know, the other side to run against your person to make it an easier go. So what's the future for Jace Bulger?
I think that's a big question that's still left out there. I think the future is, if he does run for something else, he's going to be asked about this still. But now he can have another line in his rebuttal that, oh, yeah, and this grand jury looked at it for a year, and I did nothing legally wrong. And he can just trot that out whenever he's asked about it. I mean, he'll still be asked about it if he does run for something. But, I mean, the question is, does he want to run for something else? Is he going to run for something else? Some of the people close to him said they don't think in the near future he's going to run for something else. So, I mean, who knows?
And what would he run for? So let's think about that for a minute. I mean, you've been the Speaker of the House. Does that mean you want to go back to the Calhoun County Commission? I don't know about that. That Senate seat is not going to be opened up in 2014, so that's not necessarily an option. Justin Amash, is he really going to run for the U.S. Senate? I wouldn't put any money on it. It doesn't look like he's really leaning in that direction. And so where does that leave Bulger?
He seems like a person, too. I would be interested in your thoughts that he could just walk away from it and he'd be fine.
Right. Well, yeah, it's not like he doesn't have his own business, you know.
Sure.
He does. I mean, he can go back to the private sector, and I think he'd just be perfectly fine doing that for a while.
And not that he's probably going to talk about it, but this whole incident may have pushed him in that direction.
You know, time is an element that makes the heart grow fonder and makes the memory of someone a little less jagged, you know. Mm-hmm. So let's say he walks away from this for 4 years and then decides to run maybe for the state senate when that opens up in 2000. Would that be 18 now? Mm-hmm. And he could do that. It's not like he's an old guy. Shoot, he's younger than, or what? How old is he? He's about my age, isn't he? Shoot. I mean, yeah. I mean, he could run for something again and 2018, and what difference does it make, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't think this is the end of Jace Bolger's political career necessarily.
If the governor gets reelected, you find a slot in the administration and hold, be in a holding pattern until something opened up. Lots of options.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, let's move on to listening to the interview here with Roy Schmidt, see what he had to say.
I'm ready to blast away, baby. So Scott, you want some info? I got it. Otherwise...
No, I'm very interested. So, give me some reaction here. I mean, it looks like you've been cleared here.
There's a couple of things that I asked that you put in, and they're not humdingers, but something that's really important to me is that, you know, that I really wanted, and then believe me, I got more ammo than you can ever imagine here. But I and there'll be more later because I've been keeping detailed notes from a year of agony here. So, Mike Cox was my attorney, and Mike did a fantastic job. And I can't explain details. We'll see what happens and what comes out. But I don't think, you know, I think, you know, at the end of the day, they can charge you and then see if it sticks, you know. And Mike Cox, I didn't know the man before. And I can know why he's attorney general. I got to know him, and I consider him a friend. But he was simply outstanding, and that's the only way I can say it. I can't give you details. Mm-hmm. I will later. Trust me. And of course, you know, my family and people that knew me. That have supported me because I did screw up, Kyle. I made a mistake, and I admitted I made a mistake, and yet it, you know, you know, sometimes people can't let it go. But I understand, and I accepted it. But saying that, you know, I'm very thankful and happy, but I'm also really, really pissed off and disappointed that, I'm thankful that the judge seen it that way. I personally think it should have took, from my understanding, in all intents and purposes, this investigation was over in March. And I don't know if it was prosecutor shopping or what. I'm giving you my opinion. I don't know. This was a year of hell. And I have not had a job. Everybody was waiting for this. Something that, from my perspective, like us Kent County prosecutor, who he did his job and he was very tough on me and rightfully so. I made a mistake and I paid for it dearly. I lost the respect of many people and it was very hurtful to me because I screwed up. But I admitted I made a mistake and I took it like a man and lost my election and all that. But you know, when the chair of the Democratic Party and Senator Gretchen Whitmer can go up there after a thorough investigation, in fact, where the Ingham County prosecutor praised it, can go there and ask the Democratic majority judges, that's almost shameful. It's shameful, and the cost to the taxpayers is absolutely going to be phenomenal. They're going to try to give you just the hard cost of the two special prosecutors. I mean, right. That's how bad they were trying to get me and couldn't come up with anything different. There was nothing different than what Bill Forsythe seen, yet they took a year to do. Mm-hmm. And I'll just give you some stuff, and then you can ask me any questions you want.
Sure.
You know, Gretchen Whitmer should resign. I mean, she should be ashamed of herself because she said all I want is a thorough investigation, Kyle. If she's so concerned, you know, because she cost the taxpayers of her district, you know, to me, they better make sure they remember to put in the legal secretary and all the staff and all these other people in all their benefits and all their pensions when they add that in there. Because, you know, you're a good reporter. You'll be able to catch that. Because that's what I think is a joke. It's a waste. This is why cities, Kyle, from my perspective, are in terrible trouble. You know, I didn't have a problem with – I switched parties for one reason. because I could help Grand Rapids in, from my perspective, in the majority. And I knew that Grand Rapids was going to, you know, be on the out again because the leadership was horrible. Because the union leadership runs the Democratic Party. I was in caucus. I seen it. I heard it every day. Grand Rapids was secondary. Detroit was secondary to what Bob King and everybody else wanted. Every time I turned around, Kyle, it was a roll call vote, and you have to do this for MEA. You have to do this. And, Kyle, I said I had enough of it. Nobody ever cared about me saying this until now that I'm exonerated, and I don't know if they care anymore. But at the end of the day, I wanted to represent Grand Rapids. I sure understood and want to help Democrats, but it was – that's why right to work, I think, is such a darn good point, because I voted for right to work, Kyle, because at the end of the day, all the money that the members are putting in are going for what Bob King and these other leaders want for their own personal political gain, from my perspective, okay?
Right.
And I think it's absolutely shameful. That's why it's so important that the members can decide if they want to put that money into, you know, Bob King. Bob King screwed up, put that proposal up there, and then he fired, you know, what I like to call potential felon Mark Brewer. And Bob King is, you know, I mean, this is the way it was in that caucus every day. And it wasn't in the Republican caucus. You know, I kept looking over my shoulders all the time, like, okay, Chambers got to come in here and tell me I got to vote for this, or I got, Kyle, I have no reason to lie. I admitted I made a mistake, and again, I made a mistake and I screwed up, but it wasn't like that on the Republican side. I loved being over there because it was about, okay, well, this is important for your community, and if you can get enough votes for your members, you can do it. That's the way it worked.
I did want to ask you then. It seemed like the focus behind the grand jury investigation was whether you and Jace Bolger knew that Matt was not a resident of your district when he filed, and that seemed to be kind of the focal point. I mean, is that something you want to address?
But let me just put it this way, and I'll answer that question. What a freaking joke if it took a year to figure that goddamn thing out, okay? What a joke. First of all, Jace Bolger would have no idea. So Jace Bolger totally – you know, shouldn't even been considered in there from my perspective. But, you know, all I can tell you is here, Matthew Mojack, this is what people forget. Matthew Mojack, he told me he was living in that house. I'm only going on what somebody tells me, you know, and why would I risk everything if he wasn't? And two, he looked at that paper. It wasn't like I signed his affidavit. He signed it that he lived there.
Okay. Those FOIA documents were, there seemed to be some question between you and Bolger, and you said, I got bad news. He doesn't live at the house.
Yeah, but again, right. But then I went and asked him before, you know, that's why these texts and all these messages, you know, taken in totality, because believe me, if they thought they had something, they would stick the charge. I mean, I give credit to the judge in that regard. I mean, but again, I want to come back. You see, nobody knows what happens in between. Mm-hmm. And what happened in between is I went to him and I said, okay, you're over here. But, well, yeah, but I've been, you know, I've been living here. I've been fixing my fence up. I'm here. My nephew said he was living there. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm like, okay, well, all right. You know, I mean, you know.
So they told you that he was, so Matt and your nephew said, yeah, he's living there. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And my nephew said, I know he's staying there, but I don't know if he's staying there all, you know, because he was at that real sickly, because a lot of times before this all happened, he was staying at my house. He's a friend of my son's. So
Matt,
you know,
was?
I mean, no, AJ.
Oh, AJ was staying at your house.
Yeah,
okay.
So when I straight point asked Matt Mojack, he said yes. I mean, what can I say? I mean, at the end of the day, when he says that, that's it. I mean, I have to take him, take his word. I mean, so, and I think that's it. They looked at every little detail. They had a year. I mean, they could have, I'm sure they had a microscope on every piece of paper as far as how long it took. But But you know, Kyle, that's all I can say on that.
So you mentioned, you told me right off the bat that you haven't had a job since you left the legislature. What have you been doing the last 8 months?
Not a lot. I've been
really
getting acquainted with my family again. And, it is tough. I mean, there's a lot of people that wanted to you know, hire me. I think there was a lot of I believe, and there was a lot of things. But you know, people are thinking, well, he could be indicted, and then he's going to be thinking about his case if he goes to trial, and then you know, who else knows what else? And I can actually understand that. That's why it was so frustrating to me, why it took so long. And again, I think for all intents and purposes, and maybe it'll come out. I don't really know how it all works. I've talked to my attorney, and again, I want to make sure that all I ask Kyle is that Mike Cox gets mentioned, you know, because I'm very thankful for his work. He to me, he went above and aboard. Now, I'm not saying he had to, like, do something because I wasn't there, but he was really an advocate for justice and there for me personally, because it's heck when you have to wait a year after you've been through the grinder. And again, I made a mistake. I'll admit it till the day I die that I screwed up, but I apologized, and I want to move on, and I never really could. And I think, you know, today I finally can. And, you know, me and my wife, I'll be honest, we walked in, I started crying, and I gave her a hug. You know, Mike Cox called me, and I was on the expressway, and I make a point of not even listen to the news. You know, I just haven't. It's just been a very personally, emotionally tough time for me. And walked in there, and we were crying, and we hugged each other. And because, you know, Mike called me, he said, "Did you hear?" And I said, "Oh, man, am I indicted?" He said, "No, you're a free man, Roy." And, man, I was just, I was right on the expressway by my house, and I drove right home and hugged my wife. But anyway, I don't know what that matters. But
So what are you going to do now?
Well, I'm going to, you know, first of all, work on getting a job hopefully and quick. And I think that shouldn't be a problem now that people know me and know that, you know, I don't have over my head.
Mm-hmm.
And two, I'm definitely going to consider political office again. And
are you really?
And run. Absolutely. I just kind of look at, and I'm not trying to pick him because he's a Democrat, but I look at Bill Clinton, and I love that comment. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. He out lied. And I did too. I made a mistake. I lied that I didn't know Matt Mosiak. I got to be making that kind of money, man. I can get those million-dollar speeches, you know. So, I mean, really, he out and out lied. I mean, you know, so at the end of the day, and he was a very good president. I liked the guy. I'm not one of these hardcore Republicans or hardcore Democrats, I told you what frustrated me the most is union leadership that decided that was more important than Grand Rapids. And I just, you know, I should have done it better, Kyle. I should have, you know, made better decisions, but I didn't. I made a mistake, and I'm human. So
what kind of office do you think you would run for? Maybe county? You were on the county commission before. Are you thinking maybe something like city council?
I'm going to run for city. I love being on the city council for 16 years, so
okay.
I definitely consider that. I think of the county commission, and I definitely think about running for my old job. I can run for one more term, and, you know, I don't know any drinks other than they had her all worked up to assume. Soon, first day I met her, she started on the attack, that's the training, because she's, you know, nobody ever knew her till then, and I have nothing bad to say about her. I have no idea what kind of job she's doing, so, but at the end of the day, I'd like to actually, you know, Kyle, I was going through the motions, but emotionally inside, I knew that, this wasn't going to come out good with Bill Forsyth, but I couldn't comment. I mean, I don't think people understood that you can't comment until it's over, and then I couldn't wait to come to confession and say it. But I had from the advice of my attorney, wait till it came out. And, hey, I made a mistake, and we'll see what the people think. If I run again, I, you know, again, we're I'm being very open-minded, and I loved what I did, and we'll go from there. So.
All right.
Now, Craig, a couple weeks ago when you talked to Roy Schmidt, he said that he's not ruling out another run for political office. So let's play this out here. Let's say he runs for city council, as he suggested in that interview. Could he get elected again?
I don't know. I mean, I've talked to some people who've said there's no way he will get elected dog catcher again. But, I mean, it would depend on the race, wouldn't it? I mean, he sounds like a guy who's plotting this out. He sounds like a guy who's given this a lot of thought. It sounds like he thinks there could be an opening there.
I mean, we don't know the political landscape there in Grand Rapids, John. I mean, maybe there is a council seat or a county commission seat that he could run for. He's got a lot of talking, though, to do to make voters there feel comfortable. He almost lost to a write-in in his primary election, for crying out loud. I mean, the voters there were not very impressed with him last time he went out.
This is true, but you also have to remember, though, American politics is full of examples of people redeeming themselves. Of course, it's recently full of examples of people almost redeeming themselves and tripping, but we won't talk about the New York mayoral race. It's possible. West Michigan, though, is a conservative community, and Dutch people have long memories.
Do they have forgiving hearts, though?
Generally, but sometimes it takes a while for those forgiving hearts to warm up.
Well, I think, you know, it's also interesting if you go back a few months when he gave his going away speech on the House floor. It was really, he was apologetic, but he was also joking with his Democratic colleagues. He seemed like a guy that maybe there could be an opportunity for him to bounce back. I don't know, he seemed like he had a positive attitude going forward.
Well, as he said in that podcast, it's not as if he had anything else going on right now. Mm-hmm. So,
true.
You know, if there's an opening and a chance, we'll cover it. We'll see how forgiving those Dutch people are, John. All right, well, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Murray's Monday podcast. Thanks to John Murray, Craig Mauger, and Roy Schmidt for talking to us this week. And also thanks to Michigan Press Association for circulating our podcast. Until next week, I'm Kyle Mullen. Take care.